All right, we're going to continue our series on staying close to Christ. And we'll be reading in John 13 again as we continue this short series. John 13. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, we know him as the greatest teacher that ever lived, has performed a cleansing of the feet of his disciples. Now, at first glance, and you know, the Bible is a book where you have to get beyond the first glance. Reading the Bible is good, but studying the Bible is better. And it requires more than a glance. And Jesus Christ, in this passage, emphasizes that what he did to his disciples requires more than just reading about it and pondering it a bit. But at first glance, its purpose was simply to change dirty feet into clean feet. But in everything that Jesus does, we are to pay attention to the deeper instruction he intends for us to receive. Everything he does in the scriptures has many sides. We can obviously see this side of cleaning dirty feet, but there's many sides to this. There's far more for the disciples to come away with than clean feet. And Jesus will make sure that deeper instruction is given, for he uses the physical to teach the spiritual. That's one of the principles of study of the scriptures. You look at the physical. Jesus came to this earth, walked the dusty trails of Israel for 3 years to provide examples in the physical to teach the spiritual. And this is inferred in John 13:12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Well, now it's obvious at first glance what he had done to them. He had cleaned their feet, but this question was asked to spur thought on the part of the disciples, to spur thought. Now, our pastor preaches and he asks questions to spur thought. Now, thought takes work. When you come to Sunday school, you're saying, I'm going to work. You know, some people go to work and they don't work. But when you come to Sunday school and when you come to church, it's like saying, I'm going to work because there are going to be calls upon me to think. And Jesus Christ says this, Know ye what I have done to you? Of course I know what you did to me. You washed my feet. So there's an inference in here that it's deeper than that. There was a deeper meaning, so we are to notice the method that Jesus uses here to teach his disciples. This washing of their feet and the questions of Jesus show how it is his way to teach us afterwards the good which he has already done for us. There's a deeper meaning here, disciples. What have I done unto you? Think. You know, there's a verse in Scripture that says, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know, God's not interested in ignorance. We send our children to school. We perhaps homeschool our children. Why? We don't want ignorant children. We want children to know, to have knowledge, to be skilled to understand in what God has given them to know. So this is a method that God introduces to us here through Jesus Christ our Lord as to what to know afterwards. Now, perhaps you're going through very difficult times and you wonder what it is all about. That's common, isn't it? We don't know. I don't know why I go through some things, and you don't know why you go through some things, but it's not for you to know now. It may be for you to know later. So what do? You trust. You walk down the path with God, trusting God that He knows what's best for us. You can be assured that God will, in His own good time, reveal to you what it is all about. Why did I go through this, Lord? Well, I'll let you know. You'll see. You'll see how it all works, but I want you to trust. See, it's impossible to please me without faith, and I want you to please me. See, our obligation is to please God. Jesus Christ wants us to know and appreciate what He has done, and therefore we should often reflect and ponder the things that Jesus Christ has done for you. We did some of that this Thanksgiving. Sitting around and enjoying the conversation, enjoying the fellowship, enjoying the creation of God, wondering at all the things that God has put in place for our comfort and our joy. Now think about the path you have been given when you decided to follow Jesus. For everything He has done is for our good. You know, I've never woken up and say, "Oh Lord, You did that for my bad." Never. It's always been for my good. Now if you're the right kind of parent and you believe in for the good of your child, that's the way you operate. You do things for your child for their good. Well, sometimes they have to bend over and receive a little bit of this and that. Well, that's for their good. They don't know. They say, "What do you mean?" And then daddy says, "Well, it hurts me more than it hurts you." They don't ever understand that. I never did say that. I must have been cruel. But in everything, He wants us to know the whys and the wherefores of what He has done. Why? Because we will bring glory to God when we're knowledgeable about those things in time. He does not wish for ignorant disciples. He does not wish for robots to follow Him. You know, the world is making robots. That's Satan's work. Somebody said, that's the wrong word. You can't say that. That's politically incorrect. Yes, sir. You know, robots can't think for themselves. They're told how to think. That's the devil's work. He does not wish for followers who follow Him out of habit or tradition or because it is a family thing. You follow Christ because this is what you do in your family? Do you follow Christ because this is a tradition? Or do you follow Christ because you love Him and you've received Him as your Savior, your only Savior? He desires His followers to know, to be knowledgeable, that they give glory to Him. My, when you see the things that God has created, what wells up in your heart? Wow, look at those stars. Look at God, who put them in place. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you listen, you can hear the heavens yelling, "Oh, look at God, what He did." And the beautiful sunsets and the beautiful sunrises and the weather, just the weather, how the weather works. We saw some clouds coming back from Montgomery yesterday. They were disc clouds, perfect discs. Just like saucers in the sky. Never saw them before in my life. Saucers in the sky. God was playing in the sky yesterday. But we must realize as we study Christ that everything he did was full of meaning. Everything he did is intended to serve a purpose. Therefore, we are to study the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. You study Christ. The more you study Christ, the more you will love Christ, and the more you want to follow Christ, and the more you want to obey Christ. And there are few examples more full of meaning than the washing of his disciples' feet. So he wants his disciples to know what he has done to them in the fullest sense. Know ye what I have done to you, he asks. Oh, this should have caused the disciples to think beyond the obvious. Now in John 13:13 through 15, Christ continues to expound, ye call me Master and Lord. Now think about that. Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, well, this is proper. This is right. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So he reminds his disciples of what he is to them. You know, it sometimes needs to be, you know, you think about an employee and a boss. Sometimes the boss has to remind the employee who's boss. Sometimes the employee tries to be the boss, you know. Sometimes the employer has to, hey, no, wait a minute, this is the proper role here. I'm in charge, you're under me, I give the orders, you take the orders. You see, sometimes that has to be done. Jesus Christ is doing this. He called me Master and Lord. So he reminds his disciples of this. He is Lord, he is Master, and if they call him Lord, if they call him Master, then honesty demands that they believe him and obey him. Do not call Jesus Christ Lord if Lord means nothing. That's taking the name of the Lord in what? Vain. You're using it in a vain fashion because he's not your Lord. Now, calling someone Master means that you are under his command. You're under his command, Master. Calling someone Lord means that you obey him. Okay, I'm under this person's command because I call him Master, and therefore I call him Lord, therefore I must obey. So we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Master means that I'm under his command and I must obey. So Jesus Christ tells his disciples that it is right and well to call him Lord and Master. That's the proper thing as disciples. Now, if you're not a disciple of Christ, don't do it. He validates those titles for them and for us. So this is what we ought to call him. But it must be accompanied by believing and obedience if you want to be honest. If you do not obey the one you call Lord, you are nothing but a hypocrite, a liar, and a deceiver. You know, a lot of times we sing songs, be careful, of singing songs that affirm something about yourself when in fact it's not real, it's not true. But everything Jesus Christ does provides examples for his followers to follow. Now, follow means obedience. Follow means knowing what the rules are and obeying the rules. God intends for his children to be conformed to his son. We sang about that this morning. So he provides us spiritual lessons by example. He says to his disciples, observe what I have just done so that ye may do the same. Okay, now the disciples look at that and they say, wow, we've got to wash each other's feet. That's nasty. I don't like that. That's what the master said. That's what our Lord said. We've got to do it. I don't like it, but we got to do it. I have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. So he's teaching, the Lord and Master is teaching a lesson to his disciples. He uses this example to tell the disciples that what he has done to them, he expects them also to do to each other. But it involves much more than the physical act of washing dirty feet. Much more here. Look deeper, disciples. I provided you this example. I want you to think about it. Now note that the Lord Jesus Christ accepted the fact their feet were dirty. He did not point this out to them in a critical and judging manner. Listen here, disciples. How often we criticize one another thinking that the other person's feet are much dirtier than mine. But the Lord doesn't do that here. He did not compare their feet among themselves, saying that Peter's feet were dirtier than Andrew's feet. I kind of imagine Peter had bigger feet than Andrew. More to wash. Why didn't Jesus point that out? My Peter, your feet are dirty. Or than Andrew's. Or John's feet were cleaner than Judas's feet. Judas must have had terribly dirty feet. Now some say Judas had already left. But what did Jesus do? He simply washed their feet. By this, he demonstrated that every disciple had dirty feet that needed cleaning. Now get this, disciples of Christ. All of us have dirty feet. That's a condition of all of us. And he demonstrated that he, Jesus Christ, was the cleansing agent whereby dirty feet were made clean. That's the message here. All of us have dirty feet. All of us get corrupted by this world. All of us need cleansing. This is the lesson that Jesus Christ desired to teach his disciples. He wants them to relate to one another in the matter of cleansing in the same way that he has related to them. There's the deeper lessons here. We may look at the feet of our brethren. We will see that they are dirty. We are not to ignore the dirt, pretending that it is not there. There are people that say, I want to live in the positive world. Don't say anything negative. Don't tell me my feet are dirty. I want to live in the positive world. They're living in a dream world. They choose to live in this dream world. You know, they've got a bunch of balloons. Well, they go through life, somebody will pop every one of those balloons and they'll come down to the ground. But we are not to ignore the dirt, pretending that it is not there. We are not to call the feet of our brethren clean when we know that they are dirty. Every foot on every brother or sister in Christ is dirty. But we are not to judge the feet dirtier than our own feet or the feet of others. What are we to do? We are simply to wash one another's feet. Now I'm talking spiritually here. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking about a spiritual washing, and that's what's in the lesson. I have to get down to my brother's spiritual feet to wash them. I have to humble myself to get into the right position to participate in the washing of his feet. My flesh has to be subdued if the Spirit is to work on behalf of my brother's spirit. Jesus Christ is simply demonstrating the same thing that Paul said in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Oh, look at that. His feet are dirty. What am I to do? He's overtaken in a fault. Did you know? Did you hear about Brother Paul? He was overtaken in a fault. Pass it on. You know, tell this one, overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Get the towel out. Get the basin of water. Kneel down on your knees before your brother and help to restore. Now, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, you got to think about yourself. Are you strong enough? Those that are spiritual, lest thou also be, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is exactly what Christ did when he washed the feet of the disciples. But if I am to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, there is required a submission of my brother, as Peter said. Now, if I have a humble spirit ready to restore such a brother, the brother has to be a yielded brother. Peter wasn't. Peter didn't yield. Oh, you'll never wash my feet. You know, so the brother has to yield. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. We're all to be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So cleansing is a two-part act. Jesus cleans, the disciples yield. Two-part act. Both have to occur. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. So Peter had to yield to the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Brothers clean by the washing of the word to brothers who yield. Brothers clean by the washing of the word to brothers who yield. In this vein, your pastor is in the foot washing business by preaching the word of God. Now, he is with towel, he is with basin, he is with water, ready to wash. Are you ready to yield? Do you submit to the pastor's authority in this cleansing process? And I, as your Sunday school teacher, am likewise in the foot washing business. And you, as a brother or sister in Christ, are in the foot washing business. As children of God, Jesus Christ expects us to enter into the business of submitting ourselves one to another, that the washing of the word take place. It all works together. God's word is so perfect. We are to use the same cleansing agent on our brother or sister that Jesus Christ used on the feet of the disciples. We are to use the word of God. We are to submit ourselves one to another, that the word of God may do its cleansing work. Now, the word of God, Jesus Christ, cleaned the disciples' feet, and that is still the cleansing agent that God expects us to use on our brothers or sisters. The word of God is the restorative agent we are to use in the spirit of meekness. And by doing this, we fulfill the law of Christ. You know, the body is an amazing thing, is it not? And you can learn so much about this from your own body as your body parts care for one another. You know, you think about your right hand. You have the washcloth perhaps in your right hand. The left hand joins in the right hand, puts soap on the washcloth, and this part, this hand, takes and washes your body clean. And your feet support the rest of your body as you walk from place to place, and your eyes cooperate so that you don't trip. It all works together. Well, that's the way it's supposed to work in the body of Christ in the local church. See? We're not to see each other. Your right hand doesn't say to your left hand, "You're dirty." No, what does it do? It washes your left hand. It doesn't rebel and tell others about the dirty left hand. No, it goes and washes and submits and yields. This hand yields to the washing of this hand. So the Word of God is the restorative agent. And as Christians, we are not given any other cleansing agent to apply to our brother or sister, but only the same cleansing agent that washed the feet of the disciples, the precious Word of God. We cannot clean the feet of the brethren with morality. You know, that just doesn't work. Turning over a new leaf, there's always another leaf. Boy, the leaves are falling today. Go ahead and start turning over all the leaves and see if you ever get done. No, there's always another one. So you can't clean each other with morality. We can't clean each other with psychology. We can't clean each other with education or any of the isms that fill the world. All those only cover the feet, but the dirt of the world remains. Oh, the world has so many cleansing agents. But you know, every one of them fail. None of them do the work. The world only has temporary solutions to everything. But Jesus Christ has permanent solutions to our need. Jesus Christ said to Peter, "If I wash not your feet, the Word of God. If the Word of God does not wash your feet, you'll have no part with God." That's the message. This was Jesus Christ's lesson in fellowship. This was his lesson in restoration. We are here given an example. We are here given a lesson on being an imitator of God. And we, as conforming ones of the image of God's Son, are to be a witness of God. We are to be a light of God before our brothers in Christ. You know, you have a great responsibility to be a testimony before your brothers and sisters in Christ. You think about that. Well, we want to be a testimony in the world. Better be a testimony before your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be prepared to go out into the world and be a testimony. But being light, we participate in the washing away of the influence of this world on our brother. We encourage one another to walk in the light by walking in the light ourselves. This is Christ-like. We are to be patient with our brother's faults. We are to apply the Word of God to his case. We are to daily intercede in prayer for him. Do you pray for one another in our local church? There are folks in this church that are casual about their love of the Lord. Now I'm judging. I'm seeing how they come to church, maybe not come to Sunday school, casual about coming to the services and so on. But do you pray for these folks that they would get on fire with the Lord? And when we do these things, we have participated in the washing of our brother's feet. Now, we are to have a clean slate each day in the eyes of the Lord and His disciples. We're very careful, are we not, to clean up in the morning? We've got a day of work ahead of us. I've got to take care of personal hygiene. Well, what about the personal hygiene of the soul? What about the hygiene of the spirit? Getting into the Word, studying the Word, letting the Word of God cleanse us, because we need cleaning each day by the washing of the Word of God. And in this, we are to be little Christs as God conforms us to the image of His Son. I'll stop there. The next verse, of course, is 13:16, where the Lord reminds His disciples, "The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Again, a reference to the Master and the Lord that Jesus Christ is to us. We know that He commands, and we should know that we should obey. Father, we are thankful for the Scriptures. We're thankful for this wonderful lesson that the Lord gave to His disciples. They didn't know, Lord, what was going on at the time. They saw the physical, but they soon came to see the spiritual in this lesson. Help us, Father, as a body of Christ, this local church, to love one another, to care for one another, to see to our needs, to pray for one another, that we all be children of the light, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.